I did not know what to say. My first thought was that she'd come to the end of her forbearance with his infatuation for Strickland, and, goaded by the latter's cynical behaviour, had insisted that he should be turned out. I knew her capable of temper for all the calmness of her manner, and if Stroeve still refused, she might easily have flung out of the studio with vows never to return. But the little man was so distressed that I could not smile. "My dear fellow, don't be unhappy. She'll come back. You mustn't take very seriously what women say when they're in a passion."
"You don't understand. She's in love with Strickland."
"What?" I was startled at this, but the idea had no sooner taken possession of me than I saw it was absurd. "How can you be so silly? You don't mean to say you're jealous of Strickland?" I almost laughed. "You know very well she can't bear the sight of him."
"You don't understand," he moaned.
"You're an hysterical ass," I said a little impatiently. "Let me give you a whiskey and soda and you'll feel better." I supposed that for some reason or other, and heaven knows what ingenuity men exercise to torment themselves, Dirk had got it into his head that his wife cared for Strickland, and with his genius for blundering, he might quite well have offended her so that, to anger him, perhaps, she'd taken pains to foster his suspicion. "Look here," I said, "let's go back to your studio. If you've made a fool of yourself, you must eat humble pie. Your wife doesn't strike me as the sort of woman to bear malice.